Open your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Numbers and chapter number 27. We're going to continue on in our study that we've been following the children of Israel. Tonight, though, is somewhat of a unique story. As God helps me, I'm going to try to be brief this evening because we have a number of things to deal with in our business meeting. There's something here, but I don't want to try to make it into something that it isn't just to fill time. But as I began to read this and study on this, I learned from it and was blessed by it. And because of that, I thought I would share that with you this evening. There's a story here this evening about five young ladies and really an act of faith in their part as they reach out and ask for God to bless them in a unique way. It's a good little story, and we'll read about it together out of Numbers in chapter 27. Numbers 27, verse 1 says, "Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, and these are the central figures in our story this evening. These five ladies, their names are Mahlah, and Hogla, not the greatest name for a young lady, Hogla and Milcah and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And this, now in verse number 8, is actually going to get bigger what God's law is concerning this. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause him in his inheritance to pass into his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses." And we'll just stop in our reading there this evening. If I were to put a title on this evening's message, I would title it this, "And Justice for All." And Justice for All. There are some who criticize the Bible because it says, or they think that it says, that they think that God or the God's Word treats women unfairly. They insist that in the Bible that women are treated as second-class citizens, that they are somehow less than a man, but that just simply isn't so. And a matter of fact, in the story that we'll read about this evening, we'll find that God provides justice for five young ladies who needed it. Now we know, and I believe that the Bible teaches us, that God has indeed made a distinction between the sexes. God has ordained headship, and there is to be headship in the home, there is to be headship in the church. But any accusation that God or God's Word mistreats women or undervalues them just isn't so. It just isn't true. It is true our world has changed a lot. The roles of men and women and their responsibilities as husband, wife, father, mother, the roles continue to change in our society. But it needs to be clearly understood that in no way does God's Word ever condone anything other than the fair and equal treatment of man and woman alike.
Amen.
God is no respecter of persons. Christ died for men and women, and the Bible says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, but all are alike unto Him. In this passage that we have, God will make sure that the ladies are taken care of, that they have an equal portion to that of men, and justice for all. God's Word is a book about justice, about God being just and the justifier, about bringing justice both to us and to His Son. There are some women, and I say this with great easiness, I say this with tenderness. There's some women that I've known down through the years that never say a whole lot, and when they do, you'd be wise to listen to them.
Amen.
I'm a slow learner. Ask my wife, she'll tell you this. I have one of those wives that never says a whole lot, and I'm slowly learning. However, when she does say something, you ought to listen to her.
Amen.
And I'm learning that. We've been married about 14 years, be 15 years this year, and it takes a little while. There's just some women that you ought to listen to.
Amen.
Pilate should have listened to his wife. He would have been a whole lot better off if he would have listened to his wife. And though I know men, sometimes we think they're less than or would try to treat them inferior or think they're not as whatever, you'd be wise if God's given you a good faithful woman to listen to her and take her counsel about these things.
Amen.
In the text that we have before us this evening, what takes place is really quite uncustomary. It would be really out of character, out of turn for five women to come and appear unto Moses, but they had nothing else to do. There was no one else to plead their cause in their behalf, so they went to Moses on their own. There's just some women that you should listen to. I have a joke that I want to share that I think maybe will relate into this. I don't know how many of you may have heard about the woman who had shot and killed her husband for walking on her clean floors. The sheriff's department had been called out. There had been reports of shots in a neighbor's home. The sheriff's department arrived at his home, and when they arrived there, a lady opened up the window and began to shout out the window saying, "I killed him. He's dead. I killed him." And the sheriff responds by saying, "Well, what happened? What happened?" And the lady said, she said, "I told him not to walk on my clean floors. I had just mopped these floors, and I told him for the last time, don't walk on my clean floors. And he did, and I shot him and killed him." And just about that time, the sergeant radios in to the sheriff, and he says, "What happened?" And the sheriff explains what has happened. And the boss man, the sergeant says, "Well, have you arrested her yet?" And the sheriff, he replies to his boss and says, "No, we haven't." And the boss man says, "Well, why not?" And the sheriff replies by saying, "Because the floor is still wet." So there's some women you ought to listen to. Now, I don't tell jokes in the pulpit here, but every once in a while I do. There's some women you ought to listen to. And in this case here, Moses showed some wisdom by not dismissing these women, but by listening to them.
Amen.
By not just thinking you ladies are just troublemakers and strife stirrers and I don't want to hear you, but rather by having enough wisdom to listen to them. In the text that we have before us, what happens is that there's this man, the daughters of Zelophehad, and he is of the tribe of Manasseh, of the tribe of Joseph, of the son of Joseph. Five daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And these five ladies are in quite a predicament in the fact that their father has died and his father had no sons. Now try to set the narrative here. This happens. The chapter 27 begins with the word "then." So that ties us back to chapter 26. What had happened in chapter 26? You remember it had been the census. The census had just been taken, and you remember one of the reasons why they had the census was to determine how the land would be divided among the different tribes. And so as the census ends, these ladies, now they're not included in the census. You remember what we talked about? You had to be a male over the age of 20, able to go to war in order to be counted. And so none of these ladies were counted. And in fact, the five ladies nor their father's house would not have been counted because there were none that qualified. And so when the census is done and the land divisions are going to be scattered out, they are homeless. Essentially, they have nowhere to go. They'll not receive an inheritance because there was no one among their tribe to be numbered in their behalf. And so what they do is they go to Moses. And probably, you can check me out on this if you want to, if you'll read over at the close of Numbers in chapter 36, you'll find that later on these ladies get married. And what I believe is that their father, Zelophehad, was of the second generation of Israelites. He wasn't one that came up out of Egypt, but rather he would have been under the age of 20 or was born out in the wilderness. He was not involved in the sin of Korah. That's what they say about him. And that he would have fallen under not the judgment of God saying you're going to die in the wilderness, but rather the promise of God that you're going to inherit the land. And so I don't know what his age is, and we don't know, but their father would have been a second generation or one of that younger generation who is now old enough now to have children of his own, but he dies in the wilderness. Now you make what you want to of verse number 3. I bounce back and forth at the close of verse number 3, and it says that our father, he wasn't involved in all that mess that took place when Korah caused all that trouble. Rather, our father died of his own sin. I don't know. You can read what you want to read in that. I wouldn't want that said about me on my tombstone. He died in his own sin, you know. But anyway, there it is. These five ladies, probably, almost certainly, these are five young ladies. They would have been unmarried. Zelophehad would have had no grandsons. If you'll study this, Numbers 36 talks about later on these women and mentions them by name that they do get married. And so when you think about this, not only is it five women, but it's five young women. And if they were, and I'm right in this, if they were unmarried based on the fact that there was no inheritance for them and they were not claimed by any of their father's brethren, if they were unmarried, because they'd been married, they would have had an inheritance with their husband, right? But as unmarried young ladies, it takes great wisdom in their behalf to say, we're getting ready to cross over Jordan, and we don't want to be left out. And it would have been strange enough for five women to go to Moses in that time and that age when there really was a barrier between men and women. It would have been strange enough for five women to go to Moses, let alone five young ladies. And I can't help but imagine them at best teenagers, because during that time period, girls, they just married very young. They did. So think about five young ladies, maybe all sisters, five sisters, maybe the oldest of them is 12, 13 years old. But there's a lot of wisdom in those young ladies. They're getting ready and they know, because what they do, what they say essentially, and I hate to give this away, but essentially what they're going to do is they'll say, just like Caleb did, give me this mountain. In other words, there's a piece of property over there in the promised land that God has promised to us, and we want it. We don't want to be left out of this thing. And that's a lot of wisdom. I have two preteen daughters, and I don't know if you were to ask them or any of the other young ladies that are here, what's more important to you, boys or makeup or music or a promise of a land on the other side of Jordan? What would mean more to them? So just think about the maturity, the wisdom, and the level of faith that was exhibited by these young ladies by going to Moses and saying to him, we know that we're going to cross over into the land of Jordan. When we get over there, we don't want to be left out of inheritance. It doesn't seem right to us, is essentially what they say to Moses. It doesn't seem right to us that we should be left out of our inheritance and we should be over there without any land or a home of our own just because our daddy died and he didn't have any sons. That just doesn't seem fair. These ladies show a tremendous act of faith and realizing that there was something for them, but they had to lay claim to it. And I'm interested in, and I think it's of some importance, that they're willing to break down the customs of the day, what would be normal for the day, what would have been considered uncouth, if you know that language. There's some old North Carolina language for you. What would have been considered uncouth for that time period, they just tear all those walls down, and by faith they go to Moses and say, "We don't think it's fair that we're left out of this. We believe God. We're going to cross the Jordan River, and when we get there, we should have an inheritance among our fathers. He would have been counted, except he's dead and gone. He didn't have any sons. Why should we be left without anything?" And so, to some degree, these young ladies are exhibiting a great amount of faith that God's going to do and deliver them, like he said. And also that, you know, Moses may turn his head on us and he may kick us out and tell us to go away, but we're going to go and plead our cause before him. I'm interested in the fact that I think that these ladies said the right thing to the right person. It would have been easy, would it not, for these young ladies to go around from tent to tent, camp to camp, throughout the tribe of Manasseh and say, you know, look how terrible life is. This just ain't fair. You know, we're not going to have anything. We're not going to have anywhere to live. Some of the writers that I read after thinks that Zelophe had brothers who would have been these young ladies. It would have been their uncle, and the uncles denied them the right of land ownership. And so that's one of the reasons why they went to Moses. Maybe that's true. But these ladies here, they don't go around trying to stir strife, but rather they go to the right man to get the right answer. They go to Moses. And there's something to be said for going to the right person to get the right answer. They didn't cause a whole lot of trouble, didn't stir a whole lot of strife. Rather, they went to Moses. "Our father died in the wilderness." Verse 3, they explained their predicament unto him. Verse 4, they plead their cause. "Why should the name of our father be done away? Why should we have no inheritance because he didn't have any sons?" And the close of verse 4, they make a proposal to Moses. They say, "Give unto us, therefore, possession among the brethren of our father." And what I like in verse 5 is a great lesson for every one of us. What did Moses do? He said, "Let me go talk to the Lord about this thing."
Amen.
That's a great lesson for all of us. Folks, when you don't know what to do, you know where you ought to go? You ought to go to the right person to get the right answer. You ought to go to the Lord. Obviously, Moses hadn't dealt with this. You understand there's a newness of this situation because up until now, they weren't landowners. They've been given all kinds of laws. We have the book of Leviticus. We have Exodus. We have all kinds of laws. But now, as they're about to enter into the promised land, there's a new challenge ahead of them. And anytime you're moving forward, there's going to be a little skirmishes. There's just going to be. That's how it is. And so now Moses is confronted with something that he's not dealt with before. And what does he do? Does he rush to judgment and just say, "You all get out of here. A bunch of little old teenage girls bothering me. Don't y'all know I have a nation to lead?" No. Moses shows patience. He shows wisdom. And he shows compassion. And so he does what you and I should do when we are faced with situations that we don't know what to do. They go to the Lord. That's what you should do. Don't be rash in your decisions, whether you're young or old. Whether you're like Moses, by this time he's 119, 120 years old. Still wise enough, though, to go to the Lord when he's faced with something he doesn't know what to do. There's lots of lessons that we have learned from the life of Moses, but perhaps there's none greater than this simple lesson. Turn to the Lord for the answers in this life.
Amen.
These ladies are... And what will happen out of this is that God is going to bless them, is going to answer their request, and because of what they did, the whole nation is blessed. Now, what they go to Moses and say, "Is it right that we don't get any land because our father died, didn't have any sons?" Moses, I'm certain he thinks on this and says, "I need to talk to the Lord about this. Let me get back to you." So he goes, if you read in the narrative in verse number 2, that they come to Moses. He's there at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I'm certain Moses went and talked to the Lord or went and prayed about this matter. And he comes back, and he comes back with an answer. Verse 6, and the Lord spake unto Moses. There again, you ask God for wisdom and to know what to do, and God answered. I had a sneeze trying to sneak up on me. If you as a parent had a child who in all sincerity and in honesty came to you and said, I need your advice. I need to know what to do. Would you not heartily do your best to give them the best and most sound advice that you could? Sure you would. And in this case, Moses, a child of God, turns to his heavenly Father and says, I need to know what to do. And God, the heavenly Father, gave him an answer. And it is His divine duty and privilege as our heavenly Father to answer when we say, Lord, with a true heart, I want to know what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And that's what Moses did, and God answered him. And I believe that's what He'll do for all of us if we, in sincerity, seek His divine direction. God answered Moses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, isn't that pretty sweet? Verse 7, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Them women are right. Moses, they're right. Not hard to imagine those five young ladies, right? Anxious for an answer. What's Moses going to say? Will God receive us? Will God grant our petition? Will He hear our proposal? What's going to happen? Will we have a home of our own? An inheritance that will be in our family forever. What will be said? And the answer comes back, the daughters of Zelophehad are right, Moses. They're right. Thou shalt surely, verse 7, give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. They're not to be cut off. This right here where it says in verse 7, among their daughter's inheritance, that's why some of the old writers say that the old cruel uncles didn't want to give the girls anything. Maybe that's true, I don't know. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter because God has spoken now. And God has said those ladies will get a portion of land over there and it will stay in the family and in the family of Zelophehad throughout every generation. And then what God does is He uses this simple predicament that these ladies are in, and He swells it up. He uses this simple position that they're in, and now there are others who are going to be blessed because of it. If you see in verse number 8, 9, 10, and 11, what happens essentially is this. If I can use this as an illustration, the $5 of Zelophehad are under one umbrella. They're all gathered up under one umbrella. And they're asking for God's provision under that umbrella. And what happens is that God reaches down and He spreads that umbrella out and pulls a whole lot of others up under it. There's going to be a bigger rule now, a grander rule that's going to encompass not just what their needs were, but what the needs of many others were as well. Isn't that glorious that what these five young ladies did impacted a nation? You hear that? What these five wise young women did, God used them to set a law and a rule that still, or if Israel was what it was, would still be alive and well in Israel today. What these ladies did in breaking down the barriers and going before Moses and I believe in the right spirit, approaching Him and asking for His counsel. Now, many others are brought under the umbrella of God's justice. God uses them, and there's a lesson in that, isn't there? That perhaps even those five ladies, God allowed them to be in the position that they were in so that they would do what they did in order that the entire nation would be blessed. God in His sovereignty often allows us to be put into situations. Difficult situations. Imagine, it's no simple thing in that day and time to be five young ladies still living in the wilderness having no permanent home and there's no man there to provide or cook or take care or kill or whatever it is for you. You're on your own. But God put them. I think the divine purpose of God was that they would be in this situation in order that they would go to Moses and that the whole nation would be blessed because of it. Because of what these five young ladies did, God not only promises them an inheritance, but He also makes a rule. From now on, if anybody dies, and that the land was to stay in the family forever, the land was not to be sold, the land was to stay in the family. You had the land divisions given by need, and that land was to stay in each family. And God's going to pass a law saying if a man dies and doesn't have any sons, then you give it to the daughters. And up until then, the women hadn't been landowners. But now you give the land to the women. And well, if he doesn't have any daughters, then you give it to the next of kin. And it goes on and on and on. In other words, that the whole family, that family would be blessed throughout every generation.
Amen.
And that's how God blesses. In this, dear friends, I want you to see that if you and I are to have the justice of God served in our lives, then we're going to have to go to our Christ who alone can give justice. Take the good example of these five young ladies who had a need, went to the right place to get the right answer. And so should we. We have a divine inheritance, do we not, in the promised land? There's a little hunk of heaven over there waiting on me. I can't wait to get over there. I'm ready. Aren't you ready? I'm ready to go.
Amen.
I'm ready to be on the other side. And there's a little piece of that divine inheritance is mine. And you know what? Not even death is going to keep me from it. Isn't that what? The death, it doesn't matter if it's a loaf he had, you're dead, but it's not going to keep those little girls from getting their inheritance. Not even death will keep us from getting our inheritance. But if we are to have that inheritance, we must go to Christ.
Amen.
There is Moses as, again, a type of Christ, and we must go to Him in order that we can have justice. Justice for all. Does God mistreat women? No, look at this. In a culture in which men were predominant, it's just how it is. That's the way it was. And it's still to that some degree today. More dominant in roles and in positions, God provides justice for all. Five young ladies. And what they do impacts generation after generation after generation. Just like what you do, young ladies and young men, will impact generation after generation after generation. Short little story. But there's something rich to be found right there in that. God provides justice for all. All right?